Got our longtime friend, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, an original Panther, my friend and yours, Billy Lindsay, joining us here on the show. Billy, how are you this afternoon?
Doing good, guys. Everything. You enjoying the proceedings so far? It's been a fair amount of action going around the NHL anyway. It's been busy.
Billy, I know you're up working the NHL Network and that. What is going on with the goaltending carousel that we have witnessed here with trades and what have you? And I'll end it with, I just think it is so hilarious and intriguing that two of the so-called cup contenders in the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers sitting today and don't have a goaltender.
Yeah, it's interesting to see everyone wants a goaltender, and there's goaltenders out there. And you're right, the cup contenders is Edmonton, Toronto. They haven't seemed to have a solution in net. Toronto at this point has no one. Mrazek's gone. He's been traded away to greener pastures, hopefully for him. And Jack Campbell remains unsigned. So technically, the Maple Leafs don't even have a goaltender. You're seeing, even with the decision now, it seems Cam Talbot with Marc-Andre Fleury signing in Minnesota, that Talbot is, his agent has spoken out, and Talbot's not very happy about the situation in Minnesota. Maybe Cam Talbot becomes a viable option for one of those teams. Goaltending's in an important position everyone's looking to address. And it's funny because you look at the draft, and what kind of sticks out is goaltending is so important to teams. But goaltenders hardly ever taken in the first round. This year, the first goaltender off the boards is late in the draft again. So it's interesting to always see how the goaltending plays out in the carousel going around the NHL. But we'll see how it ends up at the end of the day. I believe the teams, Toronto, Edmonton, they're probably still searching and kicking tires, and we'll see where everyone lands when this draft is done.
Yeah, the Red Wings went out and got Ville Husso. We discussed that earlier, and because that move took place when it did, it probably made Jack Campbell and Darcy Kuemper a few extra bucks when it comes time for their contracts to be signed. Billy Lindsay, our guest here on our draft coverage as we cruise along. And in mentioning that, Billy, turning things back to the Florida Panthers, Randy and I spent some time back in hour number one talking about it, but with the Panthers having Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight, who they can turn to, and we've seen teams that have made deep playoff runs like to have and should have two options they can turn to. Goaltending for the Panthers is a position of strength, and for a team that looks to be a cup contender for a number of years here, wouldn't you say that that's a good situation for the Panthers to be in right now? They're set between the pipes.
Yeah, I think it's a must that you have a couple of goaltenders, especially throughout the course of the regular season. And Spencer Knight looks like he has the ability to be a future number one netminder. Sergei Bobrovsky was able to right the ship last year and have a really good season for the Panthers. And even in the playoffs, Bobrovsky performed well. He was not the reason why the Panthers got eliminated in the second round. It was really a strong performance by him. And you look at the Colorado Avalanche, who won the Stanley Cup, Darcy Kuemper and Pavel Francouz almost split the duties because of injuries and stuff that happened, but both those netminders were relied upon, and they only lost four games throughout their run to winning 16 games to win the Stanley Cup. So to have that position and strength in net is something that's always a valuable addition, and you'll see how Spencer Knight is going to be able to grow into that role. And it's something, if trades become a possibility down the line, you're dealing from a position of strength. So that position to be solidified for the Panthers is always the number one question around the team. And for the Panthers, they love the position they're in with the netminding.
Well, Billy, just to add on that, what is the number one, number two storylines for the Florida Panthers before they drop the puck as far as personnel moves need to, want to, before they start on October 13th to start the season?
Well, the contracts of trying to secure, you've talked about Mackenzie Weegar, and is he going to re-sign? There's the possibility that teams are kicking tires on Mackenzie Weegar, so that's a big one out there. And the extension of Jonathan Huberdeau that everyone's waiting on. Huberdeau has 1 year left on that deal, but they saw with Barkov that they want to get that. If there is an extension to be signed, they would rather have that in place sooner than later, probably before the season starts. So those two players, to me, what you want to do with them, if you want Weegar and Huberto in the fold, if you want those extensions done, get them done quicker. If something happens and the money doesn't quite fit or something that you want to explore trade and Mackenzie Weegar, that's always a possibility. But those two players seem to be at the forefront for the Panthers and what's going to really shape their future. And you got one player on defense and one player up front that are two valuable assets that you either got to sign them to long-term deals or you're going to have to figure out what you can get back for them.
And, Billy, on that, what are your comments and how did you handle it when you're discussing it over the last day or so with your colleagues and that about the situation in Chicago? Obviously, it's a rebuild, but things are a little uncomfortable there. The trades that they made of two young, very good young forwards, and then the status of Kane and Taves that are going into their last year. Overall, what are your thoughts on what the Chicago Blackhawks, who have been really under the microscope over the last 24, 48 hours?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising to me. I mean, DeBrincat goes and you send him off to Ottawa. He's a pure goal scorer and someone that had really good chemistry with Kane, was in that top six forward role, and Kirby Dach to Montreal. And Kirby Dach he's only 21 years old. A lot of people forget that. A big centerman, talented two-way centerman, and ship those guys off for draft picks and reload. So if you're sitting there and you're Kane and your Taves, do you want to go through a rebuild? You've won three Stanley Cup championships. You're on and near, but it looks like a full. There's no other way to look at Chicago other than it's a full teardown, and we're going to try and rebuild this. But Kane and Taves in their 30s, are you going to sit there and try and wait 4 or 5 years and wait for these draft picks that they're piling up to come back? So it's the big thing now, the focus really goes to Kane and Taves. If it's a full teardown and rebuild and they say they want out of there, that's their right, and that teams are going to be all over that. So it looks like to me it's surprising Chicago that they're going that direction, but that seems where they're headed.
Billy Lindsay, our guest here as we wind down our coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft. And you mentioned a lot of it there, and a lot of discussion for certain reasons has been about the Chicago Blackhawks. But anything, whether it's pertaining to the draft, a transaction, anything other than what the Blackhawks have done maybe that has really captured your attention here over these 2 days, whether it was Shane Wright dropping to number 4 or the host team at the draft, the Montreal Canadiens, making a lot of news. Anything else that you thought really made some noise? Or Ottawa adding Alex DeBrincat, that was a big thing in referencing the Blackhawks, but from the other perspective, a big trade that was made that certainly impacts the Atlantic Division.
It does. Ottawa's one of those. There's pressure on them because that young core they built together has been there for a while, and they've shown spurts throughout the time that they can be successful. So adding DeBrincat, I feel there's some pressure on Ottawa to be successful, not finish and have all these high draft picks. And they're a team, maybe if you want to look at our division and what's happening, is you take a team like Ottawa, and the Boston's a team that's going to be missing two or three or four players with injuries for the first couple months of the season. So Ottawa is one of those teams that maybe has the ability to step into that position and find themselves in the chase to be in a playoff race in that Atlantic Division. So that's interesting to me in the draft and where you fall. If you look at a player like Shane Wright, he falls down to number 4. It doesn't really matter. If you're a good player and you're going to be in the NHL, you look back at the draft and it's wherever you were drafted, if you're good enough, you're going to make the money. That's just the way it is. And to me, Shane Wright going to Seattle, that's a perfect situation because they're a franchise that's just starting off, an expansion franchise. Going in, he got a chance to play immediately. And Montreal went a different direction. But all these kids, even if you get drafted, there's going to be guys in the 4th round, 5th round that are going to be stellar NHL players. The draft, just getting drafted is just the start of the journey. If you're good enough, you're going to make it. You're going to belong in the league. If you're a first-round pick, you're going to get a few more opportunities. Maybe then if you were drafted later, but Mackenzie Weegar is drafted in the 200s. He's become one of the best defensemen in the NHL. So it's you never know how these young kids are going to play out down the future, and that's what's always intriguing to me to watch throughout the course of this draft. Teams scout these kids and have a pretty good idea of what's going on, but in a lot of ways, in 2-3 years, you're going to see some disappointments in the first round, and you're going to see some surprises in the later rounds. And with the Panthers drafting in the later rounds, that's where they have to do their due diligence and hope they hit on some of these kids.
Billy Lindsay, our guest here on our draft coverage. Billy, we're right up against the end of the show here, but I want to thank you very much for taking some time out for us here on our draft show, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Enjoy it. And, yeah, the draft's always – I think Moles is a first-rounder, and I was picked in the 100s. So we both know both ends of the – you get both ends of the spectrum with us. But Moles can tell you the draft is just one small stepping stone to the process.
Yeah, Billy, you overachieved, I underachieved, and we met somewhere in the middle.
Well, the Quebec Nordiques brought you both in, and for that we thank them.
Yeah, it took me 7 years to ruin that that franchise. Thanks, Billy. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon. Thanks.